Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Now, just to remind you guys, as we've been going through in our evening services, we've been talking about the hall of faith in Hebrews 11. Just again, the argument of Hebrews is that Jesus is better. Now I want to reemphasize this because I want to make this a point, especially today as we jump into talking about Abraham, that the author of Hebrews is not pulling out these names, so we look at these names and we see these figures and we think how amazing they are. That's not the point. That's not what we should be walking away from with. The point of this is that all of the Old Testament is pointing to Christ, and all of the Old Testament figures that got it right, the reason they got it right is because they had faith in Christ. So this is a hall of faith, not just a hall of heroes. And the only reason we could call them heroes is because they had faith. Now, I don't know about you guys, but if I'm looking at other people and I see their claim to fame is that they believed in something, that doesn't really tell me a lot about who they are. But that tells me about who they are connected to. So here we see that faith is the connecting point from them to God. Now, just as a reminder, Hebrews in chapter 11, it starts out by showing us that faith is evidence of the assurance we have in Christ. If we have assurance in Christ, it will express itself in faith. Faith is what is grounding our world to where we understand how everything works in reference to God. Faith is the only way to please God. They've repeated that several times now. Faith leaves a legacy like it did for Abel. Even though he was dead, he still is speaking to us. Faith saves from death like it did for Enoch. Faith saves our lives, and it can help us lead others to that same salvation, like it did for Noah. And faith inherits righteousness, again, as it did for Noah. So if you would, just turn your attention here to Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 8. We'll read a few verses, and we'll talk more about faith. Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 8, it says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having them seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of what that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." Let's all pray. Father God, we're so grateful, Lord, for your faithfulness, and that our faith can even do anything for us, Lord, because we know that if Christ did not come and die for our sins, if he didn't make it so simple for us, then it doesn't matter if we have faith, Lord. The only reason our faith does anything for us is because you have put in the work for us. So please just remind us of this truth and remind us to be bound to you by our love and have obedience through that, and to remember your faithfulness and drive it to bring us to faithfulness to you. Thank you again for this blessing that you've given us in this time. And Lord, just make the most of it. We ask in your precious and holy name. Amen. So we jump in here with verse 8, and this is kind of a shift because, you know, besides Noah, we've not had a lot of big names popping up in this almost genealogy of faith. We've talked about Enoch, and he was just passingly brought up in the Bible. And we talked about Abel. And I'm willing to bet if we all had wagered on people who would have popped up in this, Abel would not have, because it doesn't seem like we see a lot of his life. But then here we get to Abraham in verse 8, And this is the figure of the Old Testament. I mean, even bigger than Moses is Abraham. I mean, that's the whole point of Paul's argument in Galatians. Like he brings up the difference between Moses and Abraham to show them that the law is not superior to faith. So he's propping up how much more important Abraham is, because Abraham is Moses' father. So here we're seeing this emphasis here that we're looking at Abraham. We have to realize Abraham is the father of the faith. That's the title that they've given him. From him came the blessings. From him came the covenant that we still benefit from. So unlike these other people so far, Abraham is a big deal. But again, the point of the authors of Hebrews is not, hey, let's look at Abraham, let's see how awesome he is. The point is, again, by faith, Abraham did what he did. And if you look at it, I mean, he explains that it's going out into a strange country for his inheritance, but the key word there is he obeyed God. Now realize this, Abraham's big claim to fame is that he believed God and it was accounted to him righteousness. Okay, and with that belief, he went and followed him and obeyed his call. If you were to jump over to James, you see that they have that dynamic, that contrast here. When he brings up in James 2, verse 21, he brings up a point. James is wanting to emphasize something about faith, and that faith is not ever without works. And so he calls up Abraham as the example. He says, look, Abraham was justified by works, is what he says in verse 21, when he had offered Isaac his son on the altar. And we'll talk about that next week when we're talking more about Abraham. But the author of James is not saying, hey, listen, your salvation rides on you working. The point there for James is to make it clear that faith can save alone, but faith that saves is not alone. Now, the point of the author of Hebrews is to make the point that faith is all that matters. If you do have faith, you will go and do those works. You will obey. That's why he's starting out with this point. Yes, the obedience is where we see all the substance of Abraham's faith, but he would not have obeyed God if he didn't believe God. So by faith, he went out and did these things. Now, let's just think for a second, and let's just look at the snapshot of Abraham's life. And I want you guys to think, do you think Abraham was a man of faith? Yes, he had that initial call from God to go to a land that he didn't know what was going on. But when he got there, eventually he ended up in Egypt, and he was scared that they were going to kill him so they could take his wife. So he had her lie to them to protect him. The husband not protecting the wife, but having the wife protect the husband by allowing herself to be taken, and they could do whatever they wanted with her. Why? Because he didn't trust God to protect them. That doesn't sound a whole lot like a man of faith. And by the way, you can say the fool me once, shame on you, but Abraham did that twice. Twice he made this mistake. Okay, further, when God had promised him that he would have a seed, his wife, and both of them have these signs of unbelief, offered up her handmaid to make it happen their way, not God's way. And so he took her up on that offer. And that's where Ishmael came through. Again, and God condemns this idea, but they tried to make the covenant happen through their means, not through God. Doesn't sound like they had a lot of faith there. Even further, you may not have remembered this one, but Abraham tried to make the covenant happen through adoption. He tried to take one of his servants, Abimelech, and make him the covenant heir. So there's four different examples there of we see Abraham's lack of faith, and comparatively, we have the two of faith. Now, the reason I bring this up is because we may see a lot of unbelief, but God is looking at the belief, right? And, I mean, I think of the man that Christ was talking to when he was going to heal his daughter from death, and he says, I believe, help my unbelief, right? We may have a bunch of unbelief. We may do a bunch of acts that show our lack of faith to God, but God's looking at the faith. So if we can bring that faith, it will have more weight to this. Yes, Abraham disobeyed God. He showed a lack of faith in things, but it was his faith that was there that shone through. So in that way, in that little bit of faith that he had, the faith of a mustard seed, that's where we see this grow. So by this faith, he goes out into a land that he doesn't know to receive it as an inheritance. Now you should remember, we talked about inheritance the last time we talked about Hebrews 11. Noah became an heir of righteousness, and now we see Abraham going to a place and receiving it as an inheritance. So again, this point here should be drilled in. We are receiving something from someone when they are dying. When Christ died, that's when we got the inheritance. And the same thing is happening for Abraham. Now look at this. He had no clue where he was going. The point is, in his life, he didn't know his destination. And that's how God's plan is for us. I mean, we talked about it this morning with Pastor Matt's sermon. You do not know where God is leading you, but you should still follow him wherever he leads because he is faithful. And here's the craziest thing about Abraham. In verse 9, we see it says he sojourned. He was traveling in the land of promise, but it was as in a strange country. Abraham was in the promised land, and yet to him it was not promised land because there were still all of these people there that were not God's people. It wasn't his possession. It wasn't his land. Now, I just want you guys to stop and think about this for a second. This is the life that we are living on earth. Like Matthew 5:5 says that those who are meek, those that are lowly, they will inherit the earth. All right? That's the Christians that we're talking about. We are living on a part of our inheritance. But does it seem right now like we're on our home turf? No, because the world is so full of those who are against God. Look, we are just like how Abraham is in that situation. So in the same way, we should trust God. We should not sell out for whatever we think can keep us safe, but we should stand and have faith in him. Now look further in verse 9. He makes it clear that those, they're dwelling there in this land, and there's the word heir again, Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Now, I brought up the point earlier. We put Abraham up on a pedestal, but right here in Hebrews, right here in verse 9, he's making the point. Isaac and Jacob are heirs with Abraham. They're not heirs from Abraham. Now, yes, the promise was made to Abraham, and we see this continue through a chain, but realize Abraham was brought to the same level as we are now. Okay, if you have faith in Christ, you have as much claim to God as Abraham did. Yes, the covenant was made to him before you, but you are still on an equal footing because it's about your faith, not about your relationship that you have, your genealogy. It's not about your resume. It's about your faith. Even his brother, even his son and his grandson were all equal there. Now look further. In verse 10, and they'll carry this on in different parts, he makes it a point that his goal, what he is looking for, is the city whose builder and maker is God. Now, if you look at it, you'll see that in verse 14 and 15, in 16, they're talking about this desire for a country. Now, let's be really clear here. This is not talking about the land of Israel, okay? Abraham's goal is not to get to the land of Israel only. Now, yes, that's a part of the promise, but realize his trajectory is heavenward, not earthward. In the same way, we need to understand that our promise should not be, we should not be looking to Israel for our hope. We should not be looking to America for our hope. We should be looking to God. We should be looking to the new Jerusalem, the new earth that will come. Okay, and we need to make sure that whenever we see our allegiances, that we are Christians first, and then anything else is secondary at best. Okay, we don't need to be Christian Americans. We need to be American Christians, right? The emphasis is on our Christianity, and we can modify that with our nationality next. But all I know is this, if America gets up tomorrow and says that they are not with Christianity, I'm not with America. It doesn't matter where they go. This is my allegiance. This is my country. So that's where our emphasis needs to be. Now let's shift our eyes and look at Sarah for a second. Now in verse 11, it says, through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive the seed. Now, I think this is interesting because with Sarah, it doesn't really seem like she had much faith in the Old Testament, right? Yeah, she went and did what her husband said to do that. She brought up Hagar, but Both of them laughed whenever God had brought up that they would have a son. And when God confronted Sarah, she denied it, even though he knew that she had laughed. And that's why he named their son Isaac, is to drill in that point. Listen, you laughed at this, but this is the answer. Like, this has come true now. But again, the weight is the faith that she did have, not the faith that she didn't have. Somewhere in there, Sarah did have faith in God. And the reason she had faith in God is because she saw that he was faithful. I mean, that's what it says at the very end of verse 11. She judged him faithful who had promised. Look, that's where the emphasis needs to come out. And I've said this before with our youth group, and I'll reiterate it here again. Look, it doesn't matter if it's like trying to look at what kind of faith you have. It's who you have your faith in, all right? Because if I'm trying to weigh this out and say, man, what kind of faith am I putting in God? Is this really full 100%? Am I not sure that there's not that 1% that I need to snuff out before I'm good? You're putting the work on you again. If you can say, my faith is in God, and I know I stumble, and I know I have doubts, but I know God is the one who saves me. If that's where your emphasis is, then you're good. Because listen, Christians, this happens to all of us. We have doubts. Okay, we have moments of struggles. I mean, think John the Baptist, who was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb and had preached and told everyone, listen, heads up, the Messiah is here. When he gets thrown in prison, he sent his disciples to Jesus and said, are you really the Messiah that we're looking for? Or is it someone else? John the Baptist had doubts. If John the Baptist had doubts, I think we can all have those doubts there. And realize our emphasis should not be, oh, John, just have more faith. Come on, just get up. Believe more than you do. No, Jesus gave him the evidence to believe that. There's nothing wrong with someone who's down to remind them of how God is true and faithful to them, to show them what they should see around them. So, again, the emphasis is on the faith that they have. Now, in verse 12, it makes the point, Abraham and Sarah even too, they were so old, they were so past the point of having a child that they were as good as dead, and yet a whole nation came out of them. And I mean, just think now how numerous his descendants are, and even more so than that, how numerous it is the people that would claim Abraham as their father. I mean, we have Christians, Jews, and Muslims will all claim Abraham as their father. God's promise came through in a magnificent way. But here's the point. Abraham was with all of this stuff, and yet, verse 13, it says, they all died in faith, not having received the promises. But go back through Genesis and look at it. God promised Abraham a land, a nation, and a seed. Now, he promised him land. By the end of Genesis, the only thing that Abraham owns is the gravesite where his wife is at. That's all. When he promises him a nation, he's only got like legitimate grandson wise for the promise. He's only got one of those and a son. Not a quite a numerous generation. And eventually they get bigger to about 70 of them, but it's by no means a nation. And this promised seed that God is speaking about, we still haven't seen him. Yet you flip the page, you go over to Exodus, all of a sudden, we see a nation. Then you go further, and at the end of it, we're jumping into Joshua. Now we're seeing the land being given to them. And if we go all the way to Matthew, then we see the seed that was promised. So realize, Abraham was long dead, and yet he died in faith, receiving the promise that was to come. So, and they show this is the case by not going back to where they came from. Abraham came from Ur, he left and went to the promised land, and he dwelt there and he died there, but he never went back to where he came from. In the same way, the Israelites, when they left Egypt, they should have not come back, even in their hearts, which they did. So for us, when we leave our land of sin and are going to the promised land that God has promised to us, we should not turn our hearts back to that sin. We should not return to that land. And if we do, it shows us where we're putting the emphasis, where we really think our loyalties lie. So, the result of all of this here, at the end of verse 16, it says, "Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God." Now in Romans, Paul makes the point. He says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power unto salvation." And we can all get up and we can say that. But here in Hebrews, it brings up the opposite question. You may not be ashamed of the gospel of God, but is God ashamed to be your God? You may say, "I'm a Christian and I go to church on Sundays," but where are you bringing Christ's name when you go during the week? Where are you going and taking Christ's name when you're by yourself in private? Paul brings up the point in Corinthians, whatever you unify yourself to, you're taking Christ and dragging him into that too. So are you taking Christ's name and are you forcing him to go and be present with your sin? Is God ashamed to be called your God? Now, here's the beautiful thing about the answer to that, the way to fix that problem is to have faith. Have faith that drives you to obedience. And listen, we all fall short. We see that with Abraham. We see that with Sarah. But in that time, you know, if we are a righteous person, we will fall down 7 times, but the righteous person will get back up. So Christians, just like Joshua did, like what we talked about this morning, when you fall down, get back up and follow God. And you may not know where he's leading you, but you know that he is faithful to you. Let's pray. Father God, we are just so grateful again for your faithfulness. Lord, we know we too often stumble into sin. And that we wallow in it, Lord, that we see these things as something that just ruins our life, and we see ourselves as failures to you. But remind us that there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus, that if we have put ourselves in Christ, if you have taken us and engrafted us into your family, Lord, that we don't face condemnation anymore, that we are looking at redemption. So take us from our lowly estate that we are and just keep being faithful to hold us by our hand and encourage us with your faithfulness so that we can glorify you and that you can say that you are not ashamed to be our God. We ask this in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen.